Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and on today's episode, anything goes. We're traveling to Buenos Aires and back as long as we don't forget to take a left on Sunset Boulevard and a right at Rose's Turn. Recently, I dreamed a dream that we were offering up the best pies in London, so maybe we'll grab a bite with a little priest. Did you get a kick out of that one? Because I get a kick out of you.
Oh.
You're the top. What? No, there's nothing up because everything's coming up roses. And I know some people have a big fear, but I'm here to say this is not our final broadcast. Together, wherever we go.
Wherever we go.
Joining us today are the usual war painters.
Yep.
Including Kevin Sleepy Man Jaeger.
Hey.
Sleepy Man?
Yeah, that's from...
the Robert Ryder.
Robert Ryder.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're lucky I was going to go Blow Gabriel Blow.
I mean, that's okay, too.
Yeah, okay.
It's Patty.
Depends on the crowd.
Yeah.
Right.
Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour, is still on her honeymoon.
Wah, wah. I mean, she married enemy of the show, Jay Schmidt. We have to say wah, wah.
Will we let her back? That question will be answered.
Yes, I can't make all these games up by myself.
So, surprise, filling in is everybody's favorite Lysistrata Jonesen, Chicago Medin, Royal Pains guest starring. That's my favorite.
It's always Royal Pains with you.
Anna of Arendalen, ABC Bachelor tweet watching, friend of the show, and guest host of the show, Patty Murin.
That bio started out really sad, but then it picked up steam.
Brian and I do not watch The Bachelor, but we literally watch it through your tweets.
Oh, good.
So we know what's happening.
Yeah.
It's special.
But with us today is an author, producer, and director who's been featured at Joe's Pub, Off-Broadway, and in shows like Watch What Happens Live and Extreme Makeover. You may know him from having to...
Digging deep.
Yeah. This is deep cuts.
Yeah.
You may know
you
him
may
from...
You may know me. Your grandparents might have seen me on Extreme Makeover.
When he guest starred in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
It was me and Rosemary.
Yeah, yeah. When he sat next to Charles Nelson Reilly on Match Game. You may know him from having directed and produced the plays Joy and The Fabulous Life of Size Zero.
And other hits.
And for... rolling them out. And for producing the recording of Patti LuPone La Mouche. And you should definitely catch him performing the hit solo show he penned, Bad With Money. And Patty Issues, let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show!
Ben Rimmelauer!
Yay! Yay!
Yes!
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for being joined.
Absolutely.
Well, I thought someone else's story.
And a special guest, the janitor! So, before we begin, I just want to say that this is a special day because it's St. Paddy's Day.
It is.
Where we're talking with Ben about our St. Paddy.
Paddy Kona.
Yeah. Paddy Lapone. And, of course, with Paddy Murin.
It's a Paddy Day.
Yeah. We also love famous patties. Paddy Mayonnaise from
Patty
Doug.
LaBelle.
Oh, Patty LaBelle.
Stop, you're stealing my game.
Who all spell Patty with yes. P-A-T-T-I. Interesting.
Patty Smith.
Patty
yeah.
Smith.
Oh, yep. Stop.
All the best patties.
All the best patties.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. I have no other patties.
Well, stop. I have a game.
So,
we'll cut that out.
Oh, no, we won't.
Oh, no, we won't.
So you can follow Ben at Ben Rimmelauer.
Like it sounds.
Yeah, exactly. On both Twitter and Instagram, and then go to his website at benrimmelauer.com. And you can follow Paddy Murin at Paddy Murin, like it sounds.
For some reason, I was waiting for a .com. I do not have a website.
No. Yeah.
Well, then you guys should go buy PattyMurin.com and then sell it to her at a really
exaggerated price. Oh, my God, that's
hilarious. I think that's a great idea.
Oh, my God. No, I own that.
Do you really?
I don't. Do it.
Well, you wait till the day that relapse is.
You know, it was like you go between like having like so much information and then having like so many updates and then nothing, and you're like, I'm literally, this is Twitter. Now my website is called Twitter.
So let's just start with, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
And what snacks do we have? So as Kevin so eloquently sound effected.
I did.
We are drinking Jameson for the holiday.
Yeah. Irish whiskey.
It looks like a fancy Jameson, though, isn't it? Some kind of a aged
no,
or something?
No, it's not. I actually went into the store.
Oh, it's just a weirdo bottle.
Yeah, it was a brand new bottle.
What is it? Like we're like friends together holding hands bottle?
Yeah, it's like the Boys and Girls Club of New York.
Oh.
They love Irish whiskey.
I know. We're doing charity work here.
And Ben brought us snacks.
It's a
candy flight. A candy flight. A cavalcade of candy.
Oh, I think you just started a new business.
Yeah, candy flights.
That I totally want to go in on.
Yeah, let's do it.
We've turned this into...
All right, we got to go, guys, because we have a business.
Yeah.
Shark Tank.
Sorry,
this is Shark Tank.
Shark Tank is here.
At Candy Flight.
I just started that Twitter.
Actually, I'm going to sell you the website now.
Damn it!
The domain.
Oh, jeez.
So let's just start straight up. What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
Anybody?
Hello, Dolly. I saw Hello, Dolly.
Oh, yes!
No.
How was it?
Yeah, go
Do
on.
Do tell.
Okay, it was amazing. it was amazing. I mean, I had such high expectations, and I was pretty sure I was going to hate it because I kept sitting there like being like, I've never been so excited in my life. I've never been so excited in my life.
So let's take a step back for a second. How well do you know Hello Dolly?
Extremely well.
And do you like it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like, you know, unaware of the whatever, you know, complaints a person might have about the material.
Right, right.
But I enjoy it. And I saw it with Carol Channing in 1994. Pre-Broadway, I understand on Broadway she was a little bit slack-jawed, but in the pre-Broadway tour, she was very sharp. It was one of the best musical comedy performances I've ever seen.
I'm always great.
Yeah. I thought so. I would see her anywhere. But so I don't know. And I kept saying I was really glad it was Bette and not Patty or Bernadette.
What?
I feel,
oh, not me. It's just kidding.
No, Patty. You're too young.
First of many times that joke will be used as a
Should we have a counter? I think that's
too annoying. I'll be too annoying with it. Yeah. But I'll be a little annoying with it.
Not that, you know, Patty. And I don't know if I still feel that way. Bette was amazing, and I want to go back and see her again in a couple months because, like, I mean, it's, you know, it's a big undertaking.
Yeah, yeah.
But she certainly was wonderful. Like, I mean, she was, to see her on Broadway,
it's like,
and nope, when for somebody like her, you know, to be like, look at the old girl now, you're just like, yes, queen!
I am looking at you!
Did you see the Gypsy Run?
The Gypsy Run, the invited dress.
Or basically the first preview, but yeah.
Yeah. And, cool. Right, but, everything else was so great, though. It was such a great production. And Gavin Creel, always loved, never been better. And do you guys know Taylor Trench that's playing?
Yes.
I saw him in, like, Curious Incident, but, you know, you go see a play, you expect people to be good. He was good. It was on Broadway.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, but, like, I mean, this dumb little role in this musical, like, I was not even... I'm obsessed with him. I was literally watching YouTube videos that are, like, him in his dressing room and, like, Matilda, just, like, I don't know what. I was like, he's the funniest thing. He's going to get nominated for a Tony.
Wow.
He's really good. I saw him in Bear. when he did it.
Oh,
another great musical comedy.
Ran for years.
Oh, no.
Kevin, what have you seen this week?
We went to see Michael Cerveris in concert this week.
We did.
He did a concert of his new music from his album Piety. And then after he played a couple of those songs, which were great, they're very kind of like British pop influenced with like kind of like singer-songwriter-esque. Like
his songs?
Yeah. James Taylor meets The Who, I guess.
Yeah.
That sounds good. That sounds awesome.
So yeah, it was fun. And then after that, he did an act two. He came out with
a two-actor.
Yeah, he did a two-acter. So the first act was Piety.
Don't Crack Me, Argentina.
And then the second act, the second act he pulls out, he's like, well, now I'm going to sing some songs from my audience who came for the theater stuff. And all these old people are like, yes! Like, literally, like, it was like a monster scream.
Give me your musical theater.
And he pulls out the song I remember from Evening Primrose.
Yes.
And we were like, this isn't what we expected from musical theater,
it was Kevin, me, and Kimberly. And as soon as he said, I'm going to sing a Sondheim ditty for you, and Kevin and I couldn't place it, we both turned to Kimberly. She was already looking at us and goes, Evening Primrose.
I didn't know what that was. So then we Wikipedia'd it and
on
read
a train
all
home.
The information
about it. You
guys
did not
it.
Know Evening Primrose?
No.
Maybe you should call this, like, a little Broadway.
Yeah.
Ouch. She just questioned our wasted.
So, no, I'm not questioning
our They were broad-wasted when they saw Evening Primrose.
But no, so we talked about Evening Primrose, which was, the song was lovely. I mean, it was the girl song, so get it. But he also pulled out, he sang The Glory of Love. Story of Love.
Oh. You gotta give.
What is it actually called?
Which one?
The one from Hedwig.
Oh, the origin. Oh,
origin
of
origin. Thank you. It was something about love.
I was like Maya Biata.
And he also pulled out what was the other musical theater thing? Oh, he did Pony Boy.
Pony Girl. Pony Boy is an outsider's character.
Right.
What's Pony Girl?
Pony Girl is
doing really well.
You are.
Pony Girl is the
two sips, folks. Two sips.
Pony Girl is the little folk lullaby that Bruce sings to little Allison in Fun Home.
Oh,
when they're in New York before he goes out, like she's like putting her back to bed.
It's literally like one phrase, but apparently Janine Cesori wrote the full song
because it was like in an older version of the show.
So he covers it, and he like he covers that.
Oh, that's very cool.
And it was like a full, like there was violin, cello, everything.
The orchestrations were beautiful. It was incredibly theatrical.
Big band.
They were like 15 or 16. Honestly.
Yeah, there were about 15 or 16 people on stage
Where
with
was
them.
This?
No,
it was
horns
in the new the Sheen Center, which was just like revitalized.
Yeah.
It's
I don't think
down
I
in the village. It was
it's on 18 Bleecker
on Bleecker.
Street. It's right across from. Do you remember Bianca, the restaurant, or Von Bar? Right in the corner of Bowery and
Bleecker.
So like on that side of Bleecker.
Yeah,
So like Bowery Meat Company at La Piscio is on the other side of Bowery.
Wow.
It was a beautiful
space.
And they're doing a lot of concerts and stuff like that. They're going to bring in some theater shows. So definitely check out what's happening at the Sheen Center because we loved what happened with Michael Cerveris.
Yeah. Patty, what have you seen this week?
Last night I actually saw Come From Away.
Ooh, I'm jealous.
I did. Have you seen it?
No.
So no, you, yeah. I haven't cried tears of joy in a very long time because, like, you know, there's moments in your life where you kind of know you're like, okay, my wedding, and like it was really, I mean, just beautiful. And I again, like, I just think the timing of it is just adds on to what a great show it is. It's nice to know right now at this point in time that there are really, really, truly selfless, wonderful, lovely people in the world who are also people and not like robots, because they also talk about like their there was no question of what they were, if they were going to take care of all the people on these planes or not. It's Jen Kalael's voice is stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I saw her in Chaplin. And
oh my
like
God.
While it didn't last that long, like, that show really sticks with me because of the talent in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you not like
it? No, I didn't see it. Oh. I was just thinking about Jen Kalael's voice.
He was having a moment about Jen Kalael's voice.
You know, she gets to that point, you're like, oh, she sounds so good at the top of her belt, and then she kind of, like, lifts her lip a little higher, and you're like, what's
and
that?
It goes more. Yeah. That's exactly what she does.
That's great. Well, that's amazing. So we thumbs up to everything we saw.
Yeah.
Let's just get right into it. I'd love to talk about Bad with Money and Patty Issues. We did not see Bad with Money, but we did see Patty Issues.
Then you don't get to talk about it.
Uh-oh.
Great.
No, please, talk about my shows a lot.
Can you explain to our listeners exactly what those two pieces are and why they work well together? And kind of where they came from. I'm going to keep adding questions to your explanation. Yeah, great. Numbered up. Great. Okay, fantastic.
He's got a Rolodex of all your questions.
Yeah, Rolodex. What is this? 1994?
I love Rolodexes.
I don't know what a Rolodex is. Yeah. I'm so young. Is that an iPhone app?
Yeah. so kind of, if you could just elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, there are monodramas, like solo plays that just, you know, spoken word, kind of like in the Spalding Gray, Mike Daisy vein. And although I perform them in New York at the Duplex, so people think that they're cabaret acts, I'm like singing the songs of Patty Murin, but I'm not. It's Patty Issues is something else.
All three of them.
Patty Issues is a...
That's the show that happens in my apartment once a week.
Huh? Yeah, actually.
And mine.
Well, Patty Issues is a play on words, on daddy issues, because it's about two things. It's about...
I didn't get that till right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got that before you did.
I don't know why.
That's funny. A lot of people don't, and they call the play Patty Problems. And then when I did Bad With Money, they call it Money Issues.
Oh, that's so funny.
I was doing this benefit with Jackie Hoffman, and we were like in the green room, and I was like,
follow her on Twitter.
If you're on my show, you know, for the other actors. And Jackie's like, she's like, Patty Issues, why is it called that? And I was like, well, because, you know, it's a play on Daddy. She goes, well, Daddy Issues isn't a thing. That's not a good title. And I'm like, well, it is a thing. You should see my show. And she's like, you should call it Daddy Lupone.
I feel like that's a different show.
Yeah, that's a very
different show.
You have to love Jackie Hoffman.
That's my next piece.
That's not a thing.
Daddy Lupone, starring Jackie Hoffman.
People should follow her. She's good. Anyway, that is Patty Issues. Bound with Money is just about my lifelong struggle in addictive nature with spending money, overspending money, and... Mm-hmm. It sort of uses a little bit of, I mean, it goes through my whole life, all these really crazy things, can I say that, that I did.
Carmen Cusack is going to be put in all of you.
Oh, that's right, where she goes like,
no!
Thanks, Carmen. all these extreme things I've done for money, and then sort of like in the second part of it, yeah, you'll see. It's very honest. You know, people, when I did Patty Issues, everybody was like, this is so brave, this is so honest. And I was like, okay. But the Bad With Money really feels very scary sometimes. Well, I think they go well together because in Patty Issues, I'm sort of, a lot of it, I'm a kid and things are happening to me. And it's this very sweet story because I grew up obsessed with Patty Lupone, and then I moved to New York and I get to work with her and get to know her, and then we have a little bit of drama, and then that works out well in the end, and it all comes together, and it's just like this cute story. And then Bad With Money, it's about me being like a thief and a crook and a fraud and like a prostitute and, you know, a drug addict and all this stuff.
So you're working in the theater industry.
Just so we can get that out there, Patty Issues is coming back to New York at the Duplex.
They both are, yeah. It's a double
bill. April 24th. May 15th and June 12th. Yeah, but you should definitely check them out because Kevin and I had a great time seeing Patty Issues. And it's we talked about this on the Lily Cooper episode when we...
I heard. Oh. I was going to play dumb so you'd say it all again.
Oh. I think it should be said that, you know, Kevin and I had very different reactions to it because we come from very different places when it comes to Patty Lupone, whereas Kevin's is more... You can explain your...
Yeah, I obviously think as a gay man, there was a lot of your story that resonated with gay men differently than it would with a straight man or a straight woman. I also kind of understood that whole, like, going into a new place and, like, worshiping somebody, like, as, like, a escape mechanism in a way. So I think, like, that really resonated with me a lot, and, like, seeing how gay men kind of, like, idolize strong, powerful women... And, like, why we do that, I think, was something that really kind of resonated with me.
It was nice to watch somebody else have such a different experience with this, like, with this mythological creature. Yeah. You know, like, it's almost like a Greek myth for theater.
Wow, I'm putting that in the next press release.
And I do want to say that I did just talk about how, like, as a gay man, I had a different experience. But I think it's important to note that anyone who goes to see Patty Issues will have a strong reaction to the show. Because at the core of it, it's really about... relating to your parents.
Oh.
And I think every single person, regardless of
daddy issues.
I think any person, regardless of like their upbringing, their background, anything, has some kind of skeleton in the closet when it comes to their parents. Mm-hmm. And so I think that everyone can understand that kind of getting to the adult stage where you have to unpack your youth and understand what that, like, that they're people and that you're a person and what that actually means.
Right.
And so I think that anyone should really see this show and experience what that feels like in Ben's eyes because I think it will help reflect on what's actually going on in your life.
Also, your experience is very specific with her and with how it relates to her. So I thought that that's, you know, a really nice place to start for somebody kind of relating it to themselves.
Well, I always feel like going back to like talking about Hedvig, like I was really obsessed with that show. Like when I first moved to New York was when it was off Broadway, and I saw it 10 times at the Jane Street Theater, and I saw John and I saw Michael and I saw Ali Sheedy and Kevin Cahoon. I saw everybody. Mm-hmm. And they were all great except Ali Sheedy. I would love to see a woman do it. And apparently they wanted Patty actually for the final.
Not me? I never got that call.
I'm his Benzang.
Oh, but that would have, that would have been
epic.
Literally, I think like a 1,000 people would have literally exploded every night.
Totally.
Like heart, head, just like.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I certainly would have, but that show is inspiring to me because it's so weird. Like if you tell somebody the story of that show, it's like so specific. Yeah. You're like, well, how could somebody relate to that? It's so unique. But I feel like the more your own weird story you tell, the more people relate because it makes you more human, all your strange quirks, you know, as opposed to like, I feel like we're so pushed like in so much of our culture to like just be this like sort of like homogenized thing that none of us actually are. Yeah. And, you know, and then when we're trying to be that, nobody cares because they're probably doing it better, you know.
Now let's talk about Patty's issues.
Yeah. Mine? Yeah. Well, I have a lot less now than I did like 5 years ago, so that's good.
That's great. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to that. Happy St. Me Day. So good.
Do you have a TV show that you like rewatch a lot?
No, because I always feel like there's, you know what I've been doing actually? Is I've been watching a lot of shows again with Colin. Like, I watched Westworld while it was on last year, and then, and he wanted to watch it all of a sudden, and I was like, well, good, because I could really use a rewatch. Because
I thought you meant shows that your husband was on.
No.
Like, you're just rewatching all of his work.
Like, he's on Westworld, like Game of Thrones.
They've actually seen Arrow Season 1 12 times.
Guys, I have a secret. I've only seen the first episode of Arrow and then the one where he dies. And I was like, I'm good.
Not even the one where he came back this season?
Oh, no, we watched those. Anytime he was coming back, yes.
Okay.
But like the first season before we got together, I was like, like I watched the first one and I was like, that's my friend Colin. Because I was like, oh my God, like a year before we got together. And then I was like, I don't do superhero shows. And then we got together and I was like, oh, your death was really good.
How often do you watch your Royal Pains episode?
You know, honestly, I don't watch that one as much anymore. But then the musical episode that they did that I watched that number a million times because it just makes me so happy. Like, that makes me incredibly thrilled.
Yeah.
In general, I don't like to watch myself more than once because I watch myself and the first time you're like, oh, okay, all right, that came out okay. And then when you watch it again, you're like, oh. That wasn't good. I should have said that. That's not a good... what's wrong with my hair? So it's like, I've learned that with the TV, it's just the one time, and you're boom, done.
And that's Broadwasted's Patty Issues.
Patty Issues.
So, Ben, what's your favorite musical?
Well, it's kind of changed.
No pressure.
I would have said Falsettos before the revival.
Okay.
Which I loved, but I do feel like maybe the show is a little dated. I feel like I lived for it when I was 15, and I was like, we're neurotic, and we're Jewish, and we live in New York, and we're gay. And now it's a little bit like, so I don't know. So I kind of, even though I thought it was a great production, I love the cast, I was like, I think Falsettos got taken down a notch in my book.
Okay.
So that kind of leaves me in this sort of like, Vita, Sweeney Todd, Patti LuPone crossover turf.
Vita Todd.
Reno Sweeney Todd.
Reno Sweeney Todd.
I've never heard that before. Is that like a thing people say? Or is that a you joke?
Thing I say.
That's a good one.
You should trademark that.
I know.
Yeah. Buy that website.
Trademark. Patent pending. Patty pending.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Patty pending.
Patty pending.
We've had a couple of segues that I've passed up on purpose because I have a question for all of us. The question is, so when we saw Michael sing Evening Primrose, Kevin and I didn't know about it, and that And then we started talking about shows that we do know about, and like, why haven't they done another Evening Primrose? Why haven't they done either expanded it because it's Sondheim and done? We just, it's so crazy that Kevin and I never heard of it, which is, or didn't know about it. We knew what it was.
Yeah.
So then we brought up the question, like, what are some revivals that we'll see that we also saw the original production? And then we actually brought up falsettos. Like, mm-hmm. here we are seeing falsettos revival that is now a period piece.
Yeah.
Like, when Evan Hansen, if it ever closes, like, is it going to be brought back as, like, a period piece? You know,
with, like, Fun the Home texting one, and the group
yeah.
chats.
Yeah. Like, or, like, will they update it to, like, you know, like sending messages through your brain, which right. we're going to do in yeah. like 30
we're
years.
We're all almost there.
Well, it's like Company with the...
instruments.
You know, they've gone back. There have been both versions of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, even like...
like, are we going to see...
Rent. I guess they don't change that with Rent.
But are we going to see...
It's also a period piece, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Also still
yeah.
a period piece.
But are we,
yeah.
we going to see a Fun Home revival in our lifetime? Maybe.
I mean, we're not that old. I feel like we live a decent life. It's got time.
But just
I mean,
in terms of like...
Like, will that show still have the gravitas
right.
like
is
15
it,
years from now?
Will they rework it?
More than many shows, Fun Home has gravitas. I mean,
yeah.
You know, in 30 years, we'll still be like a smart piece of theater that people
right.
could like be moved by.
I could see like all the Allisons playing their own instruments and like a revival of Fun Home.
Or I could also see like the same
little Allison
person
has a tuba.
Playing
the
all
Allisons.
The Allisons. Yeah,
yeah, totally.
It's like
what's
the budget
her name?
Version.
The young Allison.
Sydney Lucas.
Did you guys see the Secret Garden concert?
Yeah, I did. I saw a video of it.
She's like the most talented person I've ever seen in my life.
Legit.
Well, okay, here's
yeah.
what I think could
you
be
really
reinvented is Into the Woods.
Oh.
I think you could do that. Like, I actually had this concept when I was in college, but then I wound up doing it traditional because I chickened
Patty
out.
Patty Pending. we can, yep, we have this date.
Apocalyptic abandoned rave.
I'll
see
anything
outside the
box.
Do you do it like
the
most recent little revival they did where like they pared it down how many people are in it? Or do you do it like big?
I think you go big. You know.
Was it a Halloween rave and everyone was dressed up as these characters? That's my question.
And
like,
is
there
else...
still like the Cinderella?
But like the radiation,
but just...
like tore her dress
apart.
Or is it like
yes.
post-apocalyptic? Yes. The only thing left in the world of books is this one fairy tale book, and so they think this is like the history of the world.
They think it's the Bible.
Yes.
And then people are mutated into trees, and they're the woods.
They are
into
the woods.
The woods.
So it's Into the Woods, Beauty and the Beast combination.
Yeah.
They turn into the woods.
It's a tale as old as time.
Oh.
Let's play a game.
Okay.
We kill these segues here.
Damn it.
All right. So I have two games. We're going to play the one that we kind of already played half of it. So, so this game is called Everything's Coming Up, Patty.
Me?
And,
and cheers.
And what I'm doing is...
Patty LuPone is like, who is that little bitch? Because of Patty LuPone, I will never just be a single name entity. I will always be Patty Murin.
Unless you go by Murin.
Okay. They used to call me
And our guest
Patty
today
Murin.
Is Murin.
Murin.
Oh, so sad.
Do you know what my favorite musical is?
What?
Mirror in Town.
I like that. Patty Pending.
Okay,
third time's a charm, I'm done.
So everything's going up Patty. I went through a list of famous Patties that I could find. There was a list of top 100 famous Patties.
Was I on it?
Yes.
No, I wasn't!
You're number 6.
No, I was.
You're number 106.
You're number 6 behind 400.
The rest of my days is going to be spent thinking who the 100 Patties are.
You just have to kill them.
I didn't know who a lot of them were.
New TV series idea.
No, it's a. That's the revival of A
Patty
Gentleman's
Pending.
Guide to Love and Murder.
Patty Pending.
I'm starring Patty Murin killing all the Patties ahead of her.
But then Patty LuPone plays all the other Patties.
Oh!
Right.
Oh my God.
Write it.
No, I'm playing Patty Murin. She can play the other Patties.
Can we collaborate on that? That would also be hilarious, though. That would actually be pretty great.
If you didn't actually get to play Patty Murin in the show.
And she, Patty LuPone,
so...
played Patty Murin.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Okay, so I'm going to read off descriptions of famous patties. And just shout out if you could figure out who the patty is. This patty is famous for many things, but one of them is being the mother of Samwise Gamgee.
Patty Duke.
Yes.
Samwise. Okay. Oh. That was the character name that threw me.
Sure. I was like, who is this
Samwise Gamgee? It's like a Jewish hyphen. <last name. laughs> Patty Rabinowitz? I don't know.
This patty is famous for singing the song, How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?
Patty Page,
yes.
My dad would be so mortified that I didn't know that.
This Patty was kidnapped by and then joined the Sydney's Liberation Army.
Good one. I literally just got Jameson up my nose.
Worth it.
Does it hurt?
Oh, God.
This Patty was in the light of the piazzas, Signora Naccarelli, and Victoria Clark's cover. It was. This Patty was part of the first African-American vocal group on the cover of Rolling
Patty
Stone.
Patty LaBelle.
There you go. This Patty stole Doug Funny's heart.
Patty Mayonnaise.
Can you sing the song? Patty, you're the relish on my hot dog. Patty, you're the something in my tea.
Oh, I was going for banging on a trash can.
That's different.
Oh my God, you guys.
Strumming on a street light.
Patty, you're the mayonnaise for me. Oh, yes, sir. Patty, you're the mayonnaise for me. Think big. Remember that one?
No.
Or Ayu, killer tofu.
Yeah, Ayu, killer tofu. I remember that
one. Great, sorry. Aww.
All right. This patty, you have to roll up and mark with a B.
Patty cake.
Yeah.
Patty.
I was like,
this patty sang the song Where Am I Now in Lysistrata Jones.
Patty Aaron!
Oh my God. No. Oh, that's so crazy. Thank you. Everyone's like,
I was going to say, this patty is still shown on a subway platform in outskirts of Brooklyn for Lysistrata Jones.
They really need to update their advertising for anything.
Or that was free, so great. It's free marketing for you.
I went all the way out to Brooklyn and I was like, oh crap, that's Patty Murin.
You should just go once a week and like update it with like your TV schedule. Keep like a handwritten Twitter feed on it.
Every day.
Follow me at Canarsie.
Yeah. Oh, but that was Everything's Coming Up Patty, by the way. Oh.
Good job, Kevin.
Yay.
We need Kimberly back.
No. I knew it was coming.
I do have to say that there is a sensible, if you liked Lysistrata Jones situation, Lewis Flynn, who wrote all the music for the show, he's doing a solo show on May 4th at 54 Below at 7 and 9:30, and I will be busting out the Where Am I Now for like the I sing that like once every 2 years because it's really hard. And so there'll be other songs from the show
and all of his other stuff.
And
so, this is fun.
You're being sent to a desert island.
Yes.
Oh.
And you can only see one musical before you go. It's the last musical you'll see. It's going to be a perfect version of that musical. Mm. What do you see?
Like with whoever I want in the cast?
You don't choose it. You're just going to be in the audience knowing that it's going to be the perfect version of that show.
Well, yeah, it would have to be Patty and Evita.
Mm.
Yeah.
But my luck, I'll get there and it'll be like Lonnie Ackerman or something.
or sold out.
Actually, she danced it better and...
Top three Patty performances in order.
Buenos Aires, Rainbow Hot. No, I'm just kidding.
track 5, track 7.
Evita, Gypsy, and Sweeney Todd. But I would say Sweeney, the Philharmonic version. And Gypsy, I would say Broadway, not City Center or Ravinia, but I would say Broadway, sometime between like March and June.
Was this when she was in her purple isotoners?
No, after the isotoners, like up through the Tony, but not too far after the Tony.
What about the cell phone? When was that?
No, wait, before that.
Before the cell phone.
Before that. Yeah.
Okay, let's play another game.
Okay. So the next game actually, this is a perfect segue from what we just were talking about. Because we're going to play She'd Appreciate It. So here's how we're going to play. Basically, I have a list of musicals that Patti LuPone was never in. So your job is to create a new character in the show for Patty LaBelle.
My favorite game ever.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to pick a show for you. You're going to then create a character for Patty LaBelle. And you're going to take one of the songs from the show and repurpose it for her character.
This is so amazing. Wait, can we just do it really slowly?
Yeah.
I just really want
to do it as long as you want.
I feel like I could do this game every day with someone different and still find joy in it.
Yeah.
Like
so, who wants to go first? It's Patty, so Patty Day.
I'm going to go last.
Patty will go
first. I'll go first because I'm going to be terrible at this.
All right, so Patty, your musical to put Patty LaBelle into is Peter Pan.
Oh, Jesus.
I automatically thought about Patty LaBelle during the Tarantella just by herself. Like, with maybe, like, a background of, like, I don't know, like, she's sort of, like, the head nymph of, like, of Never Neverland, and she sort of is, like, a weird narrator when you get there, and so she, like, she sings, like, yeah, like, she sings, like, the transitional pieces, you know, of, like, every song, but then her big number, like you know, kind of, like, close to the beginning of the second act is definitely the Tarantella. Just because why the hell not?
Yeah.
Why the
hell not? I love
dancing,
it.
Being lifted by random, yes. I don't know, like wood fairies and pirates and Indians. Like everyone comes
everyone.
Together in a weird, like nonsensical, wonderful number. There, that's
it.
Mine.
I love it.
There it is.
I'll go.
All right, Brian, so your musical is The Phantom of the Opera.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh, she plays the Phantom Sister. Who... All of a sudden, he like it's going on as normal, and like the Phantom is all of a sudden taking her. No, I take that back. Playing this Phantom's mom, so she gets down to the lair, and it's just and he's like singing. And
that's not the heavy side lair. No, it's the lair.
No. Not the heavy side lair.
Fusioning these musicals.
She gets the heavy side lair.
So she goes down. So he takes Christine down into the below the Paris Opera House, and he's like singing her.
Oh my God.
And then all of a sudden, it's just like, what's going on in here?
His mother.
Like just coming in. It's like, mom. Like I met this girl, and like she's like, you know what? You keep bringing girls down here. Three have drowned in this river. I've had to bury two of them. Like what are you gonna? And then all of a sudden, she sings Music of the Night, but you know, completely different.
Sure.
You know, to represent her circumstances.
Yes.
And then every time they go back down into the lair, she's there and she sings all of the Phantom songs below the Paris Opera House.
Oh. Yeah. Oh God, she's like, oh man.
So did you just let her take over the entire Phantom role?
Yeah.
Yeah. He brings her on stage and then
but
she
but I created
sings
her a new
his
character.
Music.
No, wait, does he still sing them too? Is the show 4 hours long now?
No.
She only sings the songs.
He starts them and she finishes.
But he sings them. He sings them in the Phantom
of
the Opera too.
And does she sing it in his key?
Yes.
That's really
of
interesting because I actually feel like that gives us a really good idea of the Phantom's backstory.
I agree.
And you're like, oh, that's why he's like stealing random.
Yeah.
I do anything to get away from this woman.
She belted his face off.
Yeah. It's half psycho.
That's amazing. That's why he's in love with opera singers. None of them were belted at.
Yeah, and then like. And then
I might not recover from that one.
And then in Act Two, sometimes his.
He kind of has her lip curl, actually.
And sometimes in Act Two, his mask is bedazzled because she just like gets bored down there.
She's a bedazzler, like a jeweler.
Yeah, yeah. Like you just see her like sewing his capes. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, how'd you rip this one now, Fanty? You know?
Fanty.
Fanty.
Oh my God.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hamilton.
Okay. I think she should play like a narrator character, kind of like a like engineer in Miss Saigon. You start and you're like in Patty's class. You know, and she's like, good evening, students. We're here to learn about Alexander Hamilton. And, like, so she sings, like, a lot of the songs that are, like, more, like, the narrative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, raps them.
Oh, my God.
And,
I would pay so much money to see that.
Oh, and so she needs a song. So I think she sings that song from Joseph, the, like, could become a star. I think that's, that's the Act One finale is, like, her singing that about Hamilton.
But it still builds up the same. So it's, like, to the big moment mm-hmm. for Hamilton, mm-hmm. but then Patty comes out and sings the song from Joseph.
Serves.
Oh, my God.
That was weird.
So that was She Appreciates It.
Yes, she does.
Is there, Ben, in your, like, career of working with lots of interesting people and whatnot, is there one just craziest story that really stands out for you?
What's the craziest story? I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe the the craziest thing is the story in my show that it's not really a celebrity story, but I was going to see Patty and Gypsy, and I hadn't seen my father in 10 years, and he was sitting directly behind me.
Oh, my God.
Okay, this is a funny one that's not in the show. I met Patty when I was assisting Lonnie Price, and we worked on a bunch of shows, but the couple with Patty were Sweeney Todd, the Philharmonic, and some other Sondheim stuff. But we were doing a class act, which started at Manhattan Theater Club before it went to Broadway, and it was in the Stage 2 at Manhattan Theater Club, which is like the tiny room in the basement at City Center. And it was kind of a big cast for that. It was like a 7-member cast, I think, and there was just 2 dressing rooms, boys and girls. So the rule was like nobody came into the dressing rooms. You received guests in the little lobby, right? But the night that Patty was coming, Lonnie's like, you bring her straight back to the dressing room. You understand? You bring her straight back. I was like, yes, of course, Tom, of course. I got it. And but it was like the whole audience like emptied out through this single door into the lobby, and like Patty's short. You know, and I'm like, I can't see her. And then Linda Klein, that co-wrote the show with Lonnie, who was always really generous to me, introducing me to people. And she brings over Mary Rogers. And she's like, Mary, this is Ben. He's Lonnie's sister. He's so smart, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, oh, it's so nice. Oh, my God, I love Once Upon a Bachelor. But I'm like, how is she? I can't find Patty. And then the whole house is empty and there's no Patty. And one by one, everybody's leaving. And I'll never forget Randy Graff was like, I'm sure she had somewhere to be, Lon. And he's like so sad, you know? And then all of a sudden, stage manager gets a page, because that's what in 2000 how it was, that Patty thought that the stage door entrance was on 56th Street, where, like, for big city center.
Right.
And she's gotten into an altercation with the stage door guard, or the security guard for all of city center on that side. But now they've told her where she needs to go, and so there she's being brought back around. And Lonnie's like, you go and you get her. I'm like, I mean, like, there's one job I'm not going to, like, fuck up. It's, like, bringing Patty. You know, like, I won't, like, take good notes on the staging, but I'm going to, like, get Patty after the show. So, like, I, like, go running up the stairs to, like, go meet her. And as she's, like, coming down the stairs, I'm, like, going, like, oh, my God, Patty, I'm so sorry. I looked everywhere for you. And she doesn't make eye contact with me, and she does not stop. But as she passes me, she goes, no, you weren't. You were talking to Mary Rogers.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh. Oh, my God.
And that's one of those moments when you, like, feel like you get slapped in the face and you kind of want to get slapped again. Like, it was...
Yeah, yeah.
You're like...
Well, do you know what it was? I've been on the business end of, like, a Patty moment. That was not one of them.
Yeah.
It was actually really great for me because I was so scared that I was going to, like, scare her with my, like, everlasting love, and it was, like, a little too much. And I actually realized that nothing would ever be too much. If I were just to live my life in abject servitude, that would
be
all right.
Enough.
It was one of those moments where you're like, she does this on purpose just to keep her, like, story. Like, it's almost like only one person survives to tell the story. Like, I feel like that she makes sure that she's always Patty LuPone in everyone's mind. Should we play another game, Kev?
Yeah.
Can I open these now?
She has been playing with those Lights of Broadway cards to open them.
We're going to open Lights
of
Broadway cards.
While you're opening them, we might as well open some more candy, so that we don't have the two sounds at the same time.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't gotten, like, to try everything on the table. No, I have, but whatever. Also, it's going to take you 7 years.
And, Patty, can you also... You always tweet about your calendar. Can you explain that?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. So remember last year I did a thing where I tried to celebrate as many national holidays, I'm doing in quotes, you know, so it was like National Pancake Day, National whatever. That was a lot. It was hard. I failed miserably. I tried, but I failed. So this year I was
It on Margarita Day, though.
Oh, yeah. Margarita Day, drink wine day, rosé day, like beer day, like I was fine. Pizza day. I mean, like anything.
What
puppy
are the ones
day.
That you failed?
Oh, God, like, National Eat Your Vegetables Day.
Oh.
And I was like, and there was, like, 6 in one day. So you're like, so I have to eat my vegetables and have creme brulee on one day. Like, it was just very...
There's a creme brulee.
It's very food...
I didn't know there was a creme brulee.
Oh, yeah, there's an everything. It's very food-based. That's what I learned quickly. And I was like, oh, this is terrible. Okay. So this year, I was at a holiday fair in Chicago, which is, like, a whole bunch of, like, there was a whole bunch of local Chicago artists and their designs and their products and clothing and all that stuff. And there was one guy named Matthew Hoffman. He has a company called You Are Beautiful. And it started like 10 years ago, I think, as a sticker. I actually have stickers. Everyone here will get a sticker. And they all just say you are beautiful. And they're like, they're just the most simple but the most lovely things. And when you go to Chicago, you'll find like random murals where it's written just you are beautiful. And you'll find, you start to notice them on like telephone poles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he created a calendar. I don't know how many years he's been doing this, but every day there's a new like 3 to 4 word sort of just sentence or like inspirational mantra. Like today was pick up the mic. And so I have a feeling that tomorrow's going to be something and then Sunday is going to be drop the mic. But it's all things of like...
Wait, today was pick up the mic?
Pick up the mic. What? Oh my God!
Are you recording?
That's kind of crazy.
Wow.
You guys. Yeah.
He predicted your life.
It's really weird sometimes. Oh, that's super cool. It's really weird. And it's really incredible. Like on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, every day I post what the message is for the day.
Yeah.
And it's just, I love getting up in the morning because I get to like, I don't cheat ever. I get to like actually just get up and like look at it. And it's really exciting because you just don't know what it's... And, like, the ways that those, like, 3 or 4 little words can just kind of get in your brain and, like, inform your day are really pretty amazing. Like,
that's awesome.
There was something a couple days ago that was, like, your best shot. And I was like, okay, all right.
So you listen to Hamilton all day.
So hit me with the other shot. No.
Oh, yeah.
Come that's on. From Hamilton.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
You know, like,
yeah. The revival.
That's based on Hamilton. Don't have Benatar.
It's Patty Benatar. She plays Patty Benatar in Hamilton. Things hit me.
What a
with your
day.
Best shot. Yeah.
Let's give ourselves a pat on the back.
Pat T on the back.
Well, that's a whole nother thing. Yeah. Yes, so
that was
that
a pat response to this.
Stop patronizing me.
Okay, so oh, yeah, Patty Heron just opened the Lights of Broadway show cards. So what she's going to do is pass the cards around so that everybody has at least one. And we're going to play a game with Lights of Broadway show cards called the Patty Play. Okay, so everybody has a card which is a performer. Mm-hmm. Basically,
Or a member of the production
team. You're going to come over the show.
I'm going to stay.
This person can either star in or be on the creative team with Patti LuPone and Patty Murin. And you have to figure out what parts the two of them would play in the show.
I'm good.
I have Trevor Nunn, who is going to direct a production of The Count of Monte Cristo with...
Patty reprising her role from the Kennedy Center in 1985.
No, she's playing the Count. It's updated.
Oh, yes. She'll love
that. She's playing the Count. It's very much it's a vehicle for her.
Oh, my.
And she's playing the Count in all facets of that as a female who is getting back at a spurned, at her best friend, played by Patty Murin, who has now kind of risen the ranks because she sent her best friend away. And it's kind of a take on a modern, it's a modernized version of this. It doesn't take place back in the, when Alexandre Dumas wrote it. It's very much... now and takes place within the concept of a contemporary world. There's like a lot of technology to it as well.
I love it. Ben?
There are also cats everywhere.
Obviously. Yeah.
Well, I got Bette Midler.
Yes.
So it's going to be Mame with Bette as Mame, Patty as Vera, and Patty as Gooch.
So I have Leslie Kritz.
Wow.
I may have stolen Leslie Kritz for myself, and I really like her.
Wow.
But here, ready? Are you ready for this?
Yes.
So this is a musical that doesn't exist yet, but it's going to be called Hometown Dates, the musical. And it's when...
Hometown Dates.
It's like more of an off-Broadway thing.
Okay.
The Dried Fruit.
What? Hometown... No. Brian?
I'm so sorry.
Dates. I hate you.
Most boring musical ever.
Yeah.
Really
makes you go, though.
Everyone spends half of it in the bathroom. It's about the episode at the end of every season of The Bachelor where they go on hometown dates and they meet their mom.
A great concept.
Patty is going to play the mom. The mom of the Phantom. And Leslie and I are going to play the last two bachelorettes that are vying for the bachelor's heart.
So good.
And at the end, we're all going to decide to just say, head. And we're all going to just ride off into the sunset together. Me, Leslie, and Patty.
Cute.
I love it.
Just saying. I think it's kind of great.
I want to see that show.
Because it could be like funny, but then also like really like cathartic and like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it reclaims the bachelor as this like female power thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Thank you.
Kevin?
Guys, I feel like we've come up with a lot of really great ideas in this one session.
I have LaShawn's. And so I would like to cast LaShawn's and Patty together as the two sisters in Sideshow.
Oh.
Whoa.
Because I think that would be like really...
Wait, Patty Meir or Patty?
Patty LaPone. And
so
LaShawn's.
Who is Patty Meir in play?
And so you're the...
Forgot about that part, didn't
no,
you?
No, I didn't.
Kevin?
I got this.
You made up
I got
that part.
This. No.
But is she like Norm Lewis?
No,
you're into her.
Yes. I'm all
That's
in.
What I was just about to say.
I'm all in.
You're going to play the Norm Lewis part because he has a great song.
What song is that?
The devil.
You should
the
be
devil
loved.
Enough.
Oh, the devil, you know.
You should be loved by someone who loves you. Kev, do you want more?
What?
Do you want more?
No.
Broadway
stage. So yeah, so I would do the two of them as sisters, but Patty LaPone refuses to stand right next to LaShawn's.
Even though they're...
Right. So they would have to do...
I will never leave you from this side of the stage.
And Patty does her own entrances and exits. So it would be a really interesting staging. But I think it would be really brilliant to show how they're fighting to be away from each other.
Like, and then when they are both nominated for the Tony, Patty beats LaShawn's to get back for losing to her first.
Correct.
Yeah, it's perfect. Makes sense to me. Yeah.
And she brings up again how long it's been since her last Tony win.
I haven't stood up here in 7 years.
That was my favorite.
What's your favorite restaurant in New York?
What's your favorite restaurant? I got nothing.
I'm such low class taste. My favorite restaurants in New York, I am so embarrassed to tell you, are chains. They're Benihana and Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Oh,
Ruth's
yeah.
Chris
Ruth's
is great.
Ruth's
Chris is wonderful, though.
Ruth's Chris is great.
I like Benihana.
I think you're going to say Blockheads, and I was going to say Me Too.
Love Blockheads.
Oh, yeah, it is a chain.
Still technically a chain. No. I also like Chirping Chicken.
Still technically a
chirping
chain.
Chicken
chirping
Chicken is technically a chain. I freaking love it.
What's your favorite trick they do at Benihana?
I don't care the shit. The trick. Somebody needs to open a what do you call it? A hibachi restaurant without
you
all
really
the
like
nonsense.
The
I just want you
just
to cook my damn
hibachi.
Food.
I love
that's
this. Hibachi without
point,
all the nonsense.
Yeah. That's actually more of a concept restaurant than the first Benihana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be like, it can be like still Benihana, but it's like, do you want nonsense or no nonsense?
Please.
Like smoking or non-smoking?
Even if you charge
nonsense
extra.
Or non-nonsense.
Yeah. Well, I think that brings us to the end of this ridiculous
Yeah, we're
episode.
Talking about hibachi, so... No nonsense hibachi.
Can I just do the no nonsense? Thank you.
Or how long is the wait for no nonsense?
Can they have two tables dedicated to no nonsense?
I'll just take
we
first
can take
available.
You right now at the nonsense. Yeah.
So, don't forget, you can follow Ben at Ben Remelauer. Or go to benrimmelauer.com.
Oh, I changed it since we were
here. We've been here for so long that I just...
Sorry to bore you out.
I got married. It's Ben LuPone.
And don't forget, double bills of Patty Issues and Bad With Money are April 24th, May 15th, June 12th. You can go to his website to check out tickets there. Patty, you can follow her at Patty Murin. You can follow us at Broadwasted. On Twitter and Instagram, and then on our Facebook. But don't forget, April 9th at 1 p.m., we are doing a live show at the Bell House in Brooklyn as part of New York City Podcast Festival. Our guest that night will be Krista Rodriguez.
I was just showing that I listened.
Yeah, there it is. That's going to be super fun.
So excited.
It's 1 p.m. Come out. We're going to day drink. It's going to be great.
Day drink with us.
However, we always end it with a quote.
Yep.
So we're going to wrap it up.
Okay.
And that quote is, Desmond has a barrow in the marketplace. Molly is the singer in a band. Desmond says to Molly, girl, I like your face. And Molly says this as she takes him by the hand.
Can you do the Patty harmony?
Oh, I cannot. Can you do the Patty harmony?
If you sing the real one.
I can sing the
melody.
That's
probably be off pitch.
That's right? Oh, blah dee, oh, blah da, life goes on, bra, la, la, how their life goes on.
That's the first time I ever sang harmony in my life.
That was beautiful.
I don't know if that was harmony, but we'll keep it in.
harmony issues.
Yeah. Obviously, that is because Patty starred in the phenomenal show Life Goes On.
Oh,
yeah.
So good.
As the mother of Corky.
Mm-hmm.
We used to watch it all the time in my house. But thank you so much for joining us, Ben.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thanks for filling in.
Of course.
You can catch Patty At her show, May...
Oh, these are the Songs of Lewis Flynn. But 54 Below on May 4th at 7 and 9:30. It's the Songs of Lewis Flynn, all of his amazing stuff, some Lestrada Jones things.
Mm-hmm.
Super fun.
Great. Anywhere else in the future we can see you?
Oh, yes, you can see me on Thursdays, 9, 8 Central, NBC on Chicago Med. I'm
awesome. The
happiest pathologist I've ever met.
Well, again, thank you so much. Definitely go see Patty Issues. And while you're at it, Bad With Money.
Best plug for a show ever.
Ever.
Yeah. You're going to be there already. All right. Well, raise a glass.
To the bride.
To the bride. To the bride.
Yeah.
To the bride.
Yeah, to Kimberly, I guess. I don't know.
Kimberly.
Zoot-doo-wop-bop.
Cheers. Thanks for joining us. And then we'll be back next week. I hope.
We will.
You should, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Great, Kevin.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.